Hey everyone, welcome back. It's December already. Can you believe it? I feel like everyone's got decorations up, shopping lists a mile long.
It's that time of year again.
It is. And you know what else comes along with all that holiday cheer?
Let me guess. Cyber criminals gearing up for their busiest season.
Bingo! They're ready to take advantage of all that holiday hustle and bustle. That's why we're doing this deep dive today to help you guys stay safe out there in the digital world, especially during the holidays.
It's more important now than ever, really.
Absolutely. And we've got a super interesting source this time around, a monthly security bulletin that comes all the way from New Zealand. Usually it's aimed at executives, the higher ups in
All
companies.
right.
But don't worry, we're going to break it all down into plain English and pull out the stuff that actually matters to you, the everyday person just trying to survive the holidays.
Exactly. We'll cut through the jargon and get to the good stuff.
So let's jump right in, shall we? One stat in this bulletin really caught my eye. Online scams have spiked a whopping 53% leading up to Christmas.
53%. Wow,
That's huge. It's basically cybercrime's Black Friday sale. And get this, a Norton survey found that a quarter of New Zealand adults have been scammed during past holidays, losing an average of, wait for it, $1,300.
Oof, that's gotta hurt. Makes you think twice about those crazy online deals, huh?
No kidding. And it's not just about being careful with what you click on, you know? This bulletin also dives into some bigger trends that are really shaping the cybercrime scene globally, like, for instance, state-sponsored attacks.
Yeah, those are getting a lot more, how should I put it? Sophisticated?
That's one word for it. They're not just spying anymore. They're actually targeting critical infrastructure like power grids and hospitals, stuff that could really disrupt our lives.
Absolutely, the stakes are getting higher. And this bulletin, it actually includes news stories about real-world impacts of these
I
attacks.
was just about to say that they have a section on how Australian kids are being targeted by extremist groups online, which is just terrifying.
It's a sobering reminder that cybersecurity isn't just about protecting our computers and data, it's about protecting ourselves and our families, too.
It really is. Okay, so we've got state-sponsored hackers on one hand, and then on the other, we've got the more traditional cybercrime, which is also exploding.
Right, ransomware, phishing, those are still going strong. Unfortunately, cybercrime is a booming industry.
It's like they're running a business, which I guess in a way they are. Speaking of which, the bulletin really digs into this group called Black Basta. Have you heard of
Oh
them?
yeah, Black Pasta. They've become a major player in the ransomware world, and fast.
What's interesting to me is how they've changed their tactics to stay ahead of law enforcement. Like, they're not just using the same old tricks anymore.
Right, they're constantly adapting. For example, they've moved away from botnets, those networks of infected computers, and started developing their own custom malware
So
tools.
it's like harder to detect them.
Exactly, they're kind of blending in, making themselves less visible. Plus, they've been buying access from other hackers who've already broken into systems.
So they're basically shopping for vulnerabilities. That's kind of creepy.
It is. And what's really concerning is there's a possibility Black Basta has ties to the Russian state.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming.
It's not confirmed, but it adds another layer of complexity to the situation, especially considering healthcare has been a major target for attacks in 2024.
Makes you wonder, huh? All right, so we've got state-sponsored hackers, organized crime rings. It's like we're living in a spy movie. But hold on, this bulletin also talks about something that seems kind of ordinary at first. Our smart appliances.
You know, those toasters and air fryers that are all connected to the internet now? Turns out some of them are collecting way more data than we realize.
Wait, really? Like, what kind of data?
Oh, get this, some of them are actually recording audio.
My toaster is listening to me. That's hilarious. And also kind of creepy, but I guess it makes sense everything's connected these days.
That's exactly the point this bulletin is making. This whole interconnectedness, it's what makes cybersecurity so important and so challenging. A vulnerability in your smart toaster might not seem like a big deal, but it could be used to access your whole home network.
Wow, I never thought of it that way.
It's all connected, that's the thing. It's kind of like a chain reaction, you know?
Yeah.
And all that data, even from your toaster, it can be combined with other information to create a really detailed picture of you and your habits.
Okay, yeah, that is kind of creepy. It's not so funny anymore when you put it like that. It's not just about one device, it's how it all fits together, huh?
Exactly. And that brings us back to those Australian kids being targeted online. You see, it's not just about them seeing extremist content. It's about how that content is being, well, tailored and delivered, often using algorithms and social media manipulation, you know.
So it's more like they're being groomed, like those online predators you hear about.
It's a disturbing comparison, really. And the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, they've even issued a warning about this very thing. The stats are pretty alarming, too. Since 2020, there have been over 35 Australian minors between 12 and 17 years old who have been suspects in counterterrorism cases.
Wow, 35. That's a lot, especially when you think about how much time kids spend online these days. So what can parents do besides, like, throwing all the devices in the trash?
Well, the bulletin doesn't offer specific parenting tips, but it stresses the importance of early intervention and awareness. Talking to your kids about online safety, knowing what they're doing online, who they're talking to, that kind of thing.
I bet that's easier said than done, though, especially with teenagers.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just on parents either. It's something educators, communities, even the tech companies themselves need to address. We need to create a culture of online safety, just like we teach kids about stranger danger in the real world.
It really is a whole new world out there.
So all this talk about cybercrime is making me a bit nervous, to be honest. Is there anything we can actually do to protect ourselves? Or are we all just sitting ducks?
No, we're not doomed. There's actually a lot you can do. This bulletin has a whole section on staying safe during the holidays, and it's packed with practical tips.
Okay, good. I need some actionable advice here. Lay it on me.
Well, the first thing is multi-factor authentication. You've probably heard of it, but it's worth repeating. Turn it on for all your important accounts.
You mean like when they send you a code to your phone or email to log in?
Exactly. It adds that extra layer of security, so even if someone gets your password, they still can't get into your account without that second step.
Right. Makes sense. What else?
Keep your systems updated. Those software updates can be annoying, I know, but they often include important security fixes.
Got it. So don't ignore those update notifications.
And be extra careful about phishing attempts. Don't click on links or open attachments from people you don't know. And if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Easy for you to say. I'm always tempted by a good deal.
We all are. But especially around the holidays, those phishing emails can be super tempting, you know? Fake shipping notifications, amazing discounts. They play on our excitement and our desire to save some money.
True. Think before you click. All right, what else can we do to protect ourselves?
Back up your important data regularly. To an external hard drive or a cloud service, whatever works for you. Having a backup can really save you if you get hit with ransomware or experience data loss for any reason.
Oh, I learned that the hard way a few years back. My computer crashed and I lost all my photos. Backups are a must.
They really are. And finally, this bulletin suggests thinking about a zero trust security model.
Zero trust? That sounds serious. What does that even mean?
It basically means not automatically trusting any device or user, even those already inside your network. So verify every access request and make sure everyone is who they say they are.
So always be suspicious. Treat everyone like a potential hacker.
It's not about being paranoid. It's more about being cautious. It's a proactive approach, you know, assuming that security breaches might happen and focusing on limiting the damage if they do.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's better to be safe than sorry. So that's multi-factor authentication, software updates, phishing awareness, backups, and zero trust. That's a lot to keep track of. But at least now I know there are things I can do to protect myself.
And don't forget, cybersecurity isn't just a personal responsibility. Governments and businesses, they have a role to play too. The bulletin actually highlights some interesting new legislation that was just passed in Australia.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. It had something to do with reporting ransomware payments, right?
Yep. The Cybersecurity Act 2024 and the Privacy Act amendments, they both require organizations in Australia to report any ransomware payments they make to the government.
That seems like a big deal. Why is that so important?
Transparency, basically. By getting a better understanding of how big the problem is and how ransomware attacks are impacting businesses, the government can allocate resources more effectively, track the trends, and create better ways to fight back.
So companies might be more likely to report attacks if they know they're not the only ones dealing with it.
Exactly. And the Privacy Act amendments, those are about strengthening data protection and privacy rights for individuals, giving people more control over their information and making the penalties for data breaches a lot tougher.
So it's a two-pronged approach, protecting organizations and individuals. Do you think this could be a model for other countries, like New Zealand, maybe?
It's definitely possible. We're seeing a global push for stronger cybersecurity regulations, and Australia's new laws could be a sign of what's to come.
But wouldn't more regulations just stifle innovation? Isn't there a risk of going overboard with all the rules?
Yeah, that's a valid concern. It's a tricky balance. Regulations need to be designed carefully to protect everyone without creating unnecessary burdens. But I think the key is to find a way to encourage both security and in each nation.
It's complicated, for sure, but it sounds like Australia is trying to do just that.
Right.
It's a good step, I think. And, you know, it's actually kind of reassuring to see governments taking cybersecurity seriously after hearing all about these threats and vulnerabilities. It gives me, well, a little bit of hope.
Yeah, I agree. It shows that this issue is finally getting the attention it deserves. And it's not just governments either. You see businesses investing more in their security. People are becoming more aware. We're all starting to understand that we have a role to play in all this.
Like, we're all in this together, even if it feels like, you know, we're up against these huge forces, state-sponsored hackers, organized crime rings, all that. It can be pretty overwhelming.
It can be, definitely.
Mm.
But remember, knowledge is power, right? The more we understand about these threats, the better prepared we are to protect ourselves. And even small steps, they can make a big difference.
Like just enabling that multi-factor authentication, keeping our software up to date, being mindful of phishing scams, those things actually help.
Absolutely. It's all about building good habits, being aware of the risks, and just taking some precautions. You don't have to live in fear or become a cybersecurity expert overnight, you know?
That's good to hear. I'm definitely not a tech expert, but I'm learning. And I think that's the key takeaway here. We can all learn and we can all take steps to protect ourselves and our families.
Exactly. And remember, this isn't just about our devices, you know? It's about our lives, our
yeah.
privacy, our money, our relationships. It's all connected in this digital age.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today, from the latest trends in cybercrime to practical tips for staying safe during the holidays. Hopefully our listeners are feeling more, I don't know, informed and empowered, not just overwhelmed by it all.
That's what we're going for, giving everyone the knowledge and tools they need to navigate this whole world with a bit more confidence.
And maybe think twice before letting their toaster listen in on all our conversations. I'm just kidding. Well, kind of.
Well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay safe out there.
Happy holidays, everyone.